have to leave it there. Sharon Assatoyer, founder and executive director of Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center, as well as Sarah Stays, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota. Thanks so much for all joining us. Much now produced by Mike Berkshire from WKDU's John Hamilton and Megara Elizabeth Rice, Rubarich, and Aaron Mate. Our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB. What's going on here? This microphone doesn't seem to be working. Okay. One moment, please.
How about this one? Okay. Apparently the main microphone has stopped working at the station, which is not good for a talk show, but I'm using the guest microphone now. Yeah. Okay. Let me see if I can figure this one out while we play the opening theme for Off the Wall. Testing. Ah, good. All right, I think we have it all sorted here. Great. That's just what you want for a talk show, is to have the microphone not work. But did a little bit of touching things inside the board, and I think everything is going to hold together at least for another hour. But it might be kind of fun to tune in later on to see if things cut out. Well, I don't know if it was planned this way, but we're in the middle of a fundraiser, and we certainly could use the help to maintain equipment around here and, God forbid, get new equipment occasionally. And there are two ways that you can help out. The quickest, most obvious, and most satisfying to me anyway, way to help out is to call up right now and make the phone ring and pledge whatever you can afford to this radio station that provides this forum that allows us to spout forth on the airwaves for an hour every week. And, you know, I didn't give a legal ID at the top of the hour because, actually I did, but you couldn't hear me because the microphone wasn't working. And this is radio station WUSB Stony Brook. Unless you're hearing this on the internet, in which case, it's because of WUSB Stony Brook you're hearing it. Okay, and that's the reason why we are asking for financial support. We do this every now and then. It's what keeps us going. It's what keeps community radio going in this country. And it's a good thing, too. It's a good thing that there are people out there who are willing to put their money where their mouths are. It doesn't sound right, but I know it's a proper phrase. Yeah, put your money where your mouth is. I don't know where your mouth is. I don't know where your mouth has been. I don't really care. It's kind of disgusting, actually. But give us your money. They haven't given us their mouths. I don't understand the analogy at all. Just give us a call and make a pledge. Don't give us all your money. Give us what you can afford. And it all adds up, and we are able to somehow make this place work. We've been doing it since 1977. And hopefully we'll be able to continue doing it to 2177 and beyond. We'll see. The phone number, yes, I know. You want to know the phone number, don't you? There's a toll-free number for the United States. That is 1-800-394-WUSB, 1-800-394-9872. For those of you outside of the country, and I know you're out there, I know you're out there over in Europe listening at midnight or whatever. No, they changed the clocks this week, didn't they? This is like the weird period where Europe jumps ahead into daylight savings time and we're still left behind. So everything is all messed up. So I don't know what time it is over there. But wherever you are, you can always call country code 1-631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. And we have all sorts of fun things that our Tally people can offer to you. We have WUSB t-shirts, WUSB sweatshirts, coffee mugs, which you can also use for tea, or hot chocolate even. WUSB hats. We have all sorts of CDs and things like that. Far, far too many things for me to go over right now on the airwaves. The important reason why you should be calling up, though, is to support the station. The station that brings you programs like the one you just heard, Democracy Now!, and this program, which hopefully you enjoy when we aren't asking for money. Or some people actually enjoy it when we do ask for money. In any event, the phone number is 631-632-9872, 1-800-394-WUSB, whichever number you decide to call. Please, let's see some phone action now. We know there are people out there. Not everybody's listening on the internet. Not everybody listens later on different days, different times. There are people listening right now. You're the people we need to hear from. You're the people who can make the tally room jump with activity. Look at that. Not a single call. Not one call. One person. One person has the power. Not just to make the phone ring, but to actually make a pledge to the station and keep it going. Sort of makes you feel like there are actually people out there. Not just speaking into an empty microphone or not speaking into a microphone that doesn't work at all. I gotta tell you, when I did that, I felt this overwhelming sense of powerlessness, you know. I was talking into a microphone that wasn't there, wasn't answering. Little meters weren't moving on the board. It was an awful feeling, but it was sort of a premonition, I guess, because this is exactly what will happen if people don't call, if people aren't out there, if people don't support the station. We will be speaking into the air, into the wind. Nothing will be happening. Nobody will be hearing us. Yes. A scary foretelling of the future is what we may have just heard before. No, that's not enough to move you? What's it going to take? 631-632-9872. At the other radio station, we would have 10 phone calls. Now, there's a phone call. Now, is somebody going to pick it up? Okay, good. Now, there's another phone call. Two phone calls. Good. Now, of course, this only counts if these are real pledges, not people just wanting to make the phone ring. Because we do get those crackpots occasionally that like to do that. And it's one of them was apparently, because we only... Okay, the other phone's ringing now. 631-632-9872. For all the things we talk about, for all the mail we get it off the wall, it's not much to ask every now and then for people to contribute something so that it's possible. How do you think it's not magic that this happens? It's not magic that this radio station exists. It exists through the hard work, the toil, the sweat, disgusting as it may be, of the people around here who keep the place working, who put in the long, thankless hours. They're very tireful, I think. And they just work for nothing. Well, no money anyway. They get a tremendous feeling of satisfaction and jubilation and whatever it is that you get. I mean, I used to do this many years ago where I would basically live at the place and do everything from check-in records to maintain the bureaucracy that has to be maintained, filling out logs and scheduling programs and things like that. And I got to tell you, it's it really makes all the difference when you realize there are people out there listening. That matters. That's why we do it. So if no one's out there, of course, you sort of feel like, why bother? But when people are out there, you want to do the best job you possibly can do. Now, other radio stations, and I'm not going to name names, but you know who I'm talking about. Those commercial stations above 92, and some of the other non-commercial stations, too, that are simply repeaters or represent other corporate interests of various sorts, they don't have the same sense of community that you find at a radio station like WUSB. They're not in it for the joy of doing radio. They're not in it for the creativity. They're in it to get a paycheck. They're in it to follow the orders of their masters wherever they may be. And you know what? You wind up paying for that, one way or another. Whether it's through the countless underwriting announcements that they give out, the religion that they peddle, or the products that they sell on the commercial radio stations, you're paying for that. Yeah. You're paying a lot for that. And here we don't have that. Here we just have a bunch of people. Over 100 people here that do radio. And look at the kinds of things that can result from that. I've gone on to WBAI in New York City, which I never could have done without this place. Other people have gone on to do incredible things music-wise, working in the record industry, which might not be the most popular industry right now, but they're doing good things there. They're doing good creative things. And it's not just radio-based. It's all sorts of creative endeavors that people are inspired to pursue because of what they're able to do here. We're able to do just about anything that we can think of or that you can suggest. And as with most community radio stations. Wow, it's too bad that they both begin with the same four letters, isn't it? No, most community radio stations encourage their listeners to also get involved. Now, obviously, that's hard for you to do if you're in Vancouver or something, but you can still participate in some way. You can send us a song. You can send us your letters, which we'll read over the air. You can send us your comments, suggestions, whatnot, especially in this day of the internet. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB, or 1-800-394-9872. Don't have to pay anything for that call. So, yeah, it's really, it's incredible. Whether you're local, whether you're in a different part of the world, you can still participate in community radio. But it's great if you're local and you can just come on by and join the station and become a part of the staff and learn how to do radio, which is what we all did at one point. It's really cool. 631-632-9872. We had a good flurry of calls there. All right, but we have a room full of tally people that will continue to take your phone calls throughout this hour. And I'm hoping to see the phones continue to ring. And don't just call if you're outraged by what I say or enlightened by what I say or have something to suggest. Call if the fact that this place exists means something to you. And I think if you're listening right now, it must. All right. And for those of you who are listening in the future, I know you're out there and you're listening and it's not 6:14 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, March 28th. Our year of the Lord 2006. For those of you, we have another way to pledge, which we'll get to in a moment. Or you could just skip ahead and hear it that way. But let's get into the show. We have three calls on the line. We have room for five, you know. Do we have five people? No, we don't have five people there. Okay, but if you want to create a little mayhem, you can call now and somebody will have to get put on hold or put two phones to their ear at the same time. 631-632-9872. But please, whatever you can afford, we take Visa, Master, Visa, MasterCard, yes, that's what I'm trying to say. American Express and Discover, we take all that. And we have all sorts of neat things, neat WUSB-oriented material to offer in return. But the real thing you get in return is a radio station. Week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And soon, century after century, in about 50 years or so. More like 70 years, actually. Let's see, it's been a weird week, hasn't it? Some good, some very bad. Where shall we start? Well, I guess it's been a week of social unrest all throughout the world. Which is normally a good thing. I think social unrest is just fine and dandy. Because it leads people into thinking mode. It forces people to address issues, to confront situations. And it eventually leads to change of some sort. Sometimes it's the wrong change, and then it gets modified, and you go back and do it the right way. But it's almost always accomplished only by a massive show of outrage. Now, last week we talked about what was going on in Belarus with the elections there, the corrupted elections, the cheating that took place. Yeah, it was. It wasn't a good scene. Wasn't a good scene at all. The standing president, Alexander Lukashenko, received something like 83% of the vote in the official election returns. This is for his third term. Now, he probably would have won a majority. This is the interesting thing. He probably would have gotten most people because a lot of people support what he does, even though he is a dictator. And he is a dictator. Says it on his desk, dictator. And the reason why he had to get 83% was because when he was originally elected, he only got something like 70 or 75%. So he can't go down from that. He has to keep going up. Otherwise, it's a sign of weakness. So all these people were protesting. And I saw this coming. I was there last year. I was in Minsk in, I believe, August of last year on my way around the world. And I could see that there were definitely signs of individuality here, more so than a couple of years earlier when I had also been to that city. And so it's only a matter of time before the individuals collide with the dictator, with the police state. And it started to happen. The protests continued. There were 10,000 people in the streets a week ago Sunday. And there was a crackdown. There was a crackdown last week. People continued to rally in the square. They always have squares in these countries. You notice that? They always have these big areas where protesters can go. Where do we go? Where do we go? A Times Square isn't a square. It's a busy intersection with a whole lot of cars. We need those big open areas where 100,000 people can hang out. And shout slogans and things like that. That's what we need. They have these in a lot of Eastern European countries. I imagine the original purpose was so that they could listen to what the leaders of the country were telling them. But you can sort of turn that around. Anyway, they continue to gather in the various squares, or I guess the main square in Minsk. And there was a crackdown late last week, where a bunch of people were arrested, taken into custody. And it was really not a good scene to see this. So one person being beaten up by the cops, one person only apparently, that was captured on film. But the condemnation from around the world was pretty swift, the EU, the United States. But it got me thinking. How different are we really over here?
Thank you very much. We have
people to thank. We'll thank them in just a moment. If we were to have a similar type of demonstration, let's say in Times Square or wherever we can fit several thousand people in New York City. And we just stayed there night after night. What do you think would happen? I think the authorities would move in. I think the authorities would arrest people. I think the authorities would beat up a couple of people. I've seen it. It happens all the time. So where does the United States come from in condemning this? Yeah, they don't like the leader. I don't like the leader either. The guy's a dictator, no question. But as far as the tactics that were used against these demonstrators, they're exactly the same as the tactics that are used here. So yeah, I think I've got the right to condemn what happened in Belarus. I don't think the United States government does. I don't think the people in charge do, because they do the exact same thing to their citizens here. I got swept off a street for standing on a street with a whole bunch of other people, not even protesting, and that was just fine and dandy with the mayor. The cops got praise for that. And I've seen a whole lot worse here and in other parts of the country. So, yeah, let's look at the bad things that are happening in other countries, but let's also look to ourselves. So, Belarus is basically jailing all these people on Monday, yesterday. They handed out 15-day sentences to dozens of mostly young protesters who were detained. Opposition leader Alexander Milinkovich dismissed the trials as a farce and said his supporters would campaign nationwide to win more public backing and organize bigger protests. At the Leninsky District Court on the outskirts of Minsk, a judge read out verdicts in a monotone, sentencing six young women to 7 days in jail, each in less than 30 minutes. No defense lawyers were present, and the verdicts for taking part in an unauthorized rally were rubber-stamped, irrespective of whether the accused pleaded guilty or not. "This is a sheer farce. This is not a real trial," said Milinkovich, whose son was given a 15-day sentence by another court. The sentence must have been pre-written. The judge was virtually ashamed to raise his eyes. Another court sentenced a former Polish ambassador to Belarus to 15 days in jail, while a Polish journalism trainee was jailed for 10 days. I'm sort of skipping over their names because I don't want to embarrass myself. Meanwhile, on the border with Poland, the Polish consul in the western city of Grodno was barred from entering the country when he refused to let customs officials search his car. As I understand it, what is happening, of course, is connected to the situation in Belarus. According to a local human rights body known as Vyasna, 114 protesters had been sentenced to up to 15 days on public order offenses. Police said they only used force after Saturday's rally turned violent. They have not revealed the number of detained, but the opposition said around 100 protesters were being held. Well, gosh, you know, I was looking at this, and I've seen situations like this before, and the violence usually starts when the cops do something, when the cops charge into crowds or ride motorcycles into a whole bunch of people, or spray them with tear gas, or spray them with water. You see what happened in Paris today. This might even still be going on. I was watching this live as it was happening. It was simply incredible. But there are these protests going on all over the country against this new work plan, I guess is the best way to describe it. Something that that is not really in the interests of the young working people to be in France. Basically, they have a very bad situation over there. If you're a young person, your odds of finding a job are literally one in you only have a 75% chance. Is that the best way to say it? The unemployment rate is 25% among young people. That's pretty high. That's pretty high. And especially if your parents come from another country, such as Morocco or something like that, you have even less of a chance. I saw a profile today on BBC of this young man who had something like 4 degrees, 4 college degrees. He knew 5 languages. And this guy could not get a job anywhere in his home country. He had to move to England. And he also went to Sweden at one point and had no trouble at all finding employment once he did that. 100,000 people live in England now that have emigrated from France because it's just impossible to get employment. There is such racism in the society that if you are of a certain ethnic persuasion, you are almost guaranteed not to be employed. So, you know, you can sort of understand why people are a bit pissed off by the whole situation. And these new proposals, these new ways of dealing with the unemployment issue, do nothing to secure employment for young people. It makes it easier, in fact, to fire them. Now, some people think that this is actually what is needed to move ahead so that more people eventually can be employed, but the population just doesn't see it that way because of the way it's being implemented. No discussion, no debate, just a mandate, and people are a bit sick of that. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing all sorts of protests over there. And today, I think, was the biggest, something like 3 million people throughout the entire country. Now, hang on, I'm going out to the internet right now as I speak to see what the population is. And here I am in the CIA fact book. sounds ominous, but actually it's pretty useful for things like this. Let's see, they have 478 airports and 584 television stations. Okay, you know, I don't care about any of that. What's the population? Well, that's the population, CIA. You can help me with this. There's their labor force. Okay, 6.5% below the poverty line. That's great. Flag description. I'm getting there. I really am. Religion, 88% Roman Catholic. That's wonderful. Literacy is pretty high. Life expectancy, 79.6. Okay, here we go. Population is 60 million. So we had 3 million out of 60 million. Let's see, multiply 3 times 20. So it's 3%? Is that, yeah, something like that. I don't know. It's a good percentage. It really is. And all those people participated today. So, you know, you're going to see some changes in policy because of that. Because of that alone. But as things always tend to go with demonstrations, the authorities decided that enough was enough. And they decided that it was time to clear everybody out of the square that they were hanging out in. This is called Place de la République. In fact, it's where we have the 2600 meetings in Paris. Big open area. All these people were gathered. The cops come in with a water cannon and just start spraying it on the crowd. You know, people are being lifted up into the air by this thing, Birmingham style. It's really horrible to see. And these were people that, from what I could tell, were simply standing around. They weren't looting. They weren't burning things. They were standing around in the square. Oh, this is brilliant. This is brilliant, French authorities. Now you have people running through the streets trying to escape the water cannon. What do you think they're going to do? They're angry. They're wet. They're frustrated. Gee whiz, you think maybe they're going to start smashing windows now and burning cars? They weren't doing that in the middle of an open square, but no, we have to move the people out of the open square. Brilliant. You know, authorities don't change no matter where you go in the world. They're all these big monolithic idiots. So anyway, that's going on. And then here in the States, it's also starting to get interesting because of the immigration reform that so many people are pushing. And I got to say, most people do support it. Misguided as it may be, most people do support making it a felony to illegally enter the country. First of all, if you're not a citizen, how can you get charged with a felony? Not quite sure how that works, because you're not a citizen. You know, they send you back and that's it, right? But now what, we're going to put them in prison here? Is that the idea? Put them in prison, bring up the population inside the prisons even more with foreigners. And then what, they get released, and then are they citizens when they get released, or they just get kicked back over into their other country? It's weird. The thing that really is upsetting, though, is the ill will that we see towards immigrants, towards people who are trying to immigrate. It never used to be so difficult. They didn't turn boatloads of Irish or Italians back. Everybody was led into the country. Sure, they had to deal with all kinds of crap at Ellis Island, getting their names changed or dealing with unsanitary conditions or things like that. But it was nothing like it is today, where the people who are trying to enter this country to earn a decent living are seen as the enemy, are seen as the threat, when actually these are the people who are keeping the country moving. Try getting any kind of yard work done in a suburban neighborhood without having to resort to using foreign labor. It's true. Our citizens of our country do not want to do this kind of thing. Not only do they not want to make shoes in factories, and I can't blame them for that, but they don't want to be day laborers either. However, these other people from other countries are willing to come here and do backbreaking work for low wages and basically be treated unfairly. And somehow they're the problem. Anyway, people are protesting against some of the legislation that is being pushed forward in the House and the Senate this week. 500,000 people showed up in Los Angeles. 500,000 people! We've had demonstrations in Detroit, in Phoenix, in Denver, in Atlanta. I haven't seen anything in New York. I don't know what's up with that. I saw a plan today for a demonstration in mid-April. I don't know what they're waiting for. They should be doing it today. But these things are happening. And it's like what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. When people start to get inconvenienced or see their lives as being threatened in some way, they turn out. And unfortunately, that's why we're not seeing people turning out against the war anymore, because it's so distant. It's so in the background. We're not aware of it. It's not affecting us. It's not affecting the middle class in any way. Oh, of course, our sons and daughters are over there, occasionally getting blown up, but gosh, you know, what can you do? Point is, when you have thousands of people marching in the streets and showing up, hanging out in squares, spending a few nights outside, it does make a difference. And the authorities have to do something. Whether it's spray you with a water cannon or change the policy, they have to do something. And if you keep coming back after they spray you, you keep showing up and your numbers grow, there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do at all. I don't know why this message has to keep getting taught generation after generation. It's pretty simple. And I just wish it were applied to the ridiculous foreign policy that we seem to be facing day after day. And let's see, other rallies taking place. This one's kind of interesting. Hundreds of people peacefully demonstrated in London's Trafalgar Square to stand up for free speech. The protest was in response to the uproar over cartoons of the Islamic prophet Muhammad, which appeared in some European newspapers. Organizers said the protest was not anti-Muslim and warned the British National Party to stay away. Those are the neo-Nazis. Meanwhile, the Muslim Action Committee staged a counter-protest in Birmingham. Is it really a counter-protest if it's in a different city? Anyway, the free speech movement was born from a blog site. Yeah, welcome to the 21st century. The movement was born from a blog site on the internet and rallied hundreds from across the political spectrum to join Saturday's rally. Dr. Evan Harris, an MP, a Liberal Democrat human rights spokesman, was among those who spoke at the event. Organizer Peter Risden said, "We are in favor of free speech and not against Muslims. They are our neighbors and our friends." Mr. Risden said 600 people had taken part. Police said only 250 people were at the rally. Not very many. Have to wonder why. Initial plans to print the controversial cartoons satirizing the Prophet Muhammad onto banners as a way of expressing support for the Danish cartoonist were shelved. There is no way in the present climate that They could be construed as anything other than a potential threat. You know what? I can sort of see that. It would have taken away from the point of the protest. The protest is focusing on the issue. So there's no need to detract from that. I can understand that. But I cannot understand newspapers or publications of any sort that are too afraid to even show an image that somebody says is a depiction of the Prophet Muhammad. Police said there were no arrests, but officers did receive a complaint about the message on one protester's sign. A Scotland Yard spokeswoman said officers spoke to the man, and he was later allowed to rejoin the demonstration. The complainant stated they felt threatened by a sign they believed depicted the Prophet Muhammad. You see how ridiculous this is? They thought the sign depicted the Prophet Muhammad. Nobody knows what the Prophet Muhammad looks like. Nobody knows. So how do you get offended? Someone has to tell you, oh, by the way, you see that guy up there in the tire ad? Yeah, he's actually the Prophet Muhammad. Did you know that? The Michelin tire guy, that's the Prophet Muhammad. Didn't know that, did you? That's a depiction of him. You don't know what he looks like, so you got to be outraged now, right? Tear down those signs. I'm going to get letters, I know. I don't know who I've offended. Probably offended tire people. But seriously, it's silly. It's ridiculous. How about this? How about I say we have depicted the Prophet Muhammad on a cover of 2600 magazine in the past. But I'm not going to tell you which one it is. But somewhere in there, we set out to depict the Prophet Muhammad and put him on a cover. You don't know what he looks like. How are you ever going to find out? Maybe I'm just lying. The whole thing is so incredibly silly and stupid. So hopefully cooler heads will prevail. But, you know, I sort of doubt it. When religion is involved, this kind of thing just doesn't seem to happen. Following the story of this guy in Afghanistan, oh my God, this is incredible. This is the poor schmuck who decided to convert to Christianity, facing the death penalty for converting to Christianity. I mean, that's the extent of lunacy here. Convert to a certain religion, you've insulted Islam, and now you must die. There were people, hundreds of people, marching in streets demanding that this guy be killed. I'm sorry, but anytime you have hundreds of people anywhere demanding that somebody be killed, I think by default they're on the side of illogic and intolerance and things like that. Abdul Rahman has been a Christian for 16 years. He was charged with rejecting Islam. Yeah, you can be charged with that. But his case was dismissed because of insufficient evidence. Well, he's a Christian. That's kind of... that's rejecting Islam. I think you got that case locked up. How about dismissing the case because it's dumb, stupid, and backwards as all hell? How about that? Well, apparently not. United Nations officials are meeting in Kabul to discuss Mr. Rahman's plea for asylum in another country. They're not saying which country he's going to wind up in. Obviously, he can't stay in Afghanistan. Didn't we liberate Afghanistan from all the religious intolerance and nonsense like that? I don't think we did. I don't think we can. I think we can only make things a lot worse. Am I getting involved in this kind of thing now? It's going to fuel some more fire. And this guy is going to be a marked person. So will anybody in whatever country that he winds up in. It just goes to show you that intolerance like this is not something that you can just go and fix. It's not the way to do it. And if you try, you're just going to make things worse. Mr. Rahman's family had asked the Supreme Court to dismiss the case against him, saying he suffered from mental illness. You hear that, Christians? They just described Christianity as mental illness. I actually agree with that, but... They say here that they want him to just take his medication. Do you think this medication against Christianity? That would be something. Wouldn't that be nice? All this research that the pharmaceutical companies are coming up with, if they could come up with a pill that fights off religion, I think we'd all be in such better shape. In Bangkok, Thailand, a 27-year-old mentally disturbed man was beaten to death by enraged onlookers at a world-famous shrine in downtown Bangkok after he destroyed a popular statue of a Hindu deity with a hammer. Thanakorn Padipal, who police said had a history of mental illness, not Christianity this time, was killed after he broke into the Erinan shrine and used a hammer to shatter a four-headed statue of Brahma covered in gold gilt. Thousands of Thais and tourists seek good fortune at the statue every day. Apparently he was not one of them. Two men were arrested in connection with the killing last Tuesday morning. The Nation newspaper identified them as Bangkok garbage collectors, and they've been held on charges of second-degree murder. Very interesting. Of course, the way the story was originally portrayed, enraged onlookers and two garbage men, not quite the same thing. But still, pretty nutty. I think that's pretty much it for the religion this week. I think it's enough for the religion this week. But we do have a religious piece that somebody sent in to us. Let's play it first, and we'll give the credits right after we listen to it. And, of course, you should be writing down the phone number and calling us and pledging support to this radio station that is still able to speak freely. Maybe you're outraged. Maybe you're in agreement. But whatever you are, you're listening. And that's reason enough to give a call. 631-632-WUSB. 631-632-9872. Or if you prefer to call our toll-free line, 1-800-394-WUSB. And pledge whatever you can afford using your credit card, your check, whatever it is that you use to pay for things that matter to you. For as little as $25, you can start getting some really cool things, too. You can get a WUSB hat or a WUSB mug. $35 pledge will get you a WUSB t-shirt, all different sizes. $50 pledge gets you the ultra-cool WUSB sweatshirt. And there are so many more things that we have. But what's important, what's most important, is that you call and help keep the station here. Because believe me, there are people who would rather there be other voices here, voices that are similar to all the other voices, or maybe identical, maybe just a rebroadcast of something you can hear everywhere. Individual voices are always the threat. They always have been the threat, whether it's religion, whether it's governments. They all see this. They all fight against this. You can vote for it, though. 631-632-9872. Let's listen to some religious banter of sort. And we'll be back right after this. I played the wrong thing. That's actually going to be our outro. Okay, I put the wrong thing in. You know, how did this happen? Did I label the wrong thing? Okay. This is very embarrassing. I'm sorry. Hopefully, I didn't mess this up too badly. And hopefully this is the religious piece that I wanted to play.
And so, I say to you, it is easier for a camel or a very large piece of rope, depending on what translation of me speaking now you are using in the future, to pass through the eye of a or the needle, likewise, than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Ah. Not saying ah, Matthew. What ails you?
I'm sore afraid, Lord.
Don't laugh, Judas Obvious. What do you mean?
We've been away from our jobs following you, and I have no money to buy food or clothes.
Consider the lily of the field.
Yes?
See how they grow, and yet they neither toil nor spin. So I say to you, Matthew, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor about your body and what clothes you shall put on it.
So what are you saying? No, stop saying I don't understand.
Don't you understand? I do. I understood right away. It's easy.
Consider the lilies.
I have done.
Well, consider it a bit more.
Yes, Matthew. Shut up!
I have considered it. I've considered it as much as I can. It's a lily.
If the Lord God so clothes the lily, will he not much more clothe you, O man of little faith?
Look, stop going all right? Stop helping you going as if it's obvious what you're saying.
It is obvious.
It isn't. What you're saying is saying that we don't need to go to work. All we need to do is be like a lily, go out in the field, lie naked, and then God's just going to automatically give us food and clothes, is he? No, stop saying consider the lily, all right? It doesn't make any sense what you're saying. The reason a lily doesn't need to go out to work, stop saying all right, and listen. It just gets food, nutrients, from the soil, from photosynthesis. But I can't do that, can I? I haven't got any roots, I haven't got any chlorophyll in me, have I? Not magic. I'm a man, not a plant. We're not the same.
You are.
No, we're not.
Consider the lily.
Screw it, lily. Screw it up. It's not enough, is it? Just to go consider the lily. And then go It's not enough. It's not an situation. I've got my wife on my back, right? Don't make a face like that, Jesus. Saying, I want some money for sandals for the kids. I don't care. What am I going to say to you? Oh, it's all right. Don't worry, I'm just going to lie nude in the field. That'll sort it out. Answer the question.
Well, Peter understood what I meant, didn't you, Peter?
Yes, Lord.
Exactly, so...
It's pimpsy.
Yeah. So Peter can explain it to you, Matthew, now. Perhaps I've got to go back in a bit.
Well, you know, consider the lily. That's it.
Okay. that's called Consider the Lily, and thanks Sean from the UK for sending us that suggestion for this week. Comes from an old comedy program on British TV in the late 90s called This Morning with Richard, Not Judy. This Morning with Richard, Not Judy. And it's amazing the number of programs that are out there that I've never heard of, never seen. But now, thanks to the internet, you can find all these things, whether you have to go to a British site to get them and use a region-free DVD player to play them over here. You can see all these things that are really, really cool. So thanks for sending that in, Sean, and that's our religious bit for this week. Again, our email address, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear your suggestions on things we can do to mock religion worldwide, all different types and styles and flavors. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. We are asking for fund assistance. This is our pledge drive, our spring pledge drive here at WUSB. So anything you can afford to pledge will be most welcome. We have one call on the line. We want to thank these people. We want to thank Michael from Bloomington, Illinois, for his generous pledge. And let's see, Alan from... Boy, the handwriting here. This is actually not a British town. It's Cundernauld in the UK. Thank you so much for your support. And Karina from Centreach. Again, thank you for calling in. And Matt from Seattle. Thanks so much for your support. And for the people calling in now, thank you for calling. 631-632-9872. We mentioned that there is another way for those of you listening in the future. All you have to do is go to wusb.fm and follow the links to pledging online. You'll get to a point where basically you're asked for, I believe, your email address and maybe a phone number or something, and it's not actually an online pledge form. You'll be contacted by us so that you can give the confidential information that we don't trust to the internet. And you can do that anytime, WUSB.FM. And if you do, because of this announcement, make sure you mention Off the Wall. I always get lots of email from people who want to pledge at different times, and this is one way you can do this. But please make sure to mention the program. That way we know that you're out there. Okay, we just got a pledge from Seattle, and I got to say, Seattle has been the site of one of the most horrific things that have happened in recent memory. And, of course, I'm referring to the mass shooting that took place. Every week is something else in this country. It's some other violent crime involving somebody with all kinds of horrible weaponry. In this particular case, a bunch of kids at someone's house about 7 in the morning. They had been to a rave, and they had gone to what's known as an after party. And this guy who had been invited to the house, hung out for a while, seemed totally cool, went to his truck, and came back, spray-painted the word "now" in orange paint in various places around the house, and then just went back in and opened fire. Killed 6 people and then himself. And nobody knows why. The interesting thing, though, when you look at the media, when you read the stories or see the TV reports, they really can't get past the fact that somehow a rave was involved. You know, and this isn't something that took place at a rave, mind you. This is something that took place at someone's house with just a handful of people, maybe 10, 15 people, who go to these what's known as after parties, after the rave. People just sort of chill, talk, hang out. It could have been anything. Could have been any kind of gathering of people. So all this attention focused on the effects of music or, you know, were people taking drugs at this thing, it's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant to what happened. You don't expect the media to get it. You don't expect the media to understand. Some are doing a fairly good job. Some seem to be at least trying to focus on how such things happen. But then you see articles like what came out today in the Seattle paper. All age raves often trouble for young girls. Fine, you know, maybe there is a story there, but what does it have to do with some maniac opening fire on a bunch of innocent people at someone's home? It's got nothing to do with that. Where's the article saying, how easy is it for these morons, these crazy people, to get all this heavy artillery? I mean, we're talking about, let's see what we got here. A Bushmaster XM15E25, a lightweight gas-operated semi-automatic rifle that has a maximum firing rate of 45 shots per minute and a maximum effective range of 600 yards. A Winchester Model 1300 Defender with pistol grip, a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun that has an 8-shot magazine and can fire 3 shots in less than a minute. And that's only some of it. That's only some of what they found. Some of the authorities are saying these guns were not designed for hunting animals, they were designed for hunting people, and that's precisely it. That's precisely what this guy did. And the question is, why? Why do people have these things? I know I'm going to get all kinds of letters, and I don't care, from you know, the gun people. Let me just set the record straight. I'm all for gun rights. Guns should have the same rights as human beings, okay? They can vote, they can do whatever they want. But when you put guns and human beings together, that's the problem. Yeah, guns don't kill people. People kill people, right? I know. It's people with guns killing people. So let's keep the two apart as much as possible. Common sense. Because everybody cracks at some point. And I don't care who you are. You have a cracking point, and you're going to do something bizarre and crazy when you do crack. I think we've all done it. Think about people. Think about stories that you've heard of neighbors, friends, relatives, having one heck of a fight or something where someone just does something completely bizarre and off the wall. And you laugh about it later because nobody got hurt. But somehow, when you have like an army store next door to your house or in the shed or something like that, when you do lose it, all of a sudden, that's an option. And there are people who are prone to violence. Violence is never a good thing, but violence with this kind of artillery at your disposal is an extremely bad thing. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, what kind of society are we living in? We're no longer surprised by this kind of a thing. Where it happens, and then the next day, it's on to the next news story, and we kind of forget about this. Something seriously wrong. Something seriously wrong with the way we're living. The rest of the world sees it, and I think a lot of people here see it, but we don't quite know what to do about it. Blaming the music, that's not going to do anything. Blaming the age of the people, that's not the issue. The issue is we live in a violent society where it's far too easy to get your hands on things that can kill many people at one time. It's got nothing to do with self-defense. It's got nothing to do with hunting. It has to do with a sickness, with a way of thinking. And we need to move away from that. I wish I could spend more time on this because there's a lot to talk about here. Or maybe we will in weeks to come, but we're pretty much out of time now. Our email address is otw@2600.com. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I don't want to hear speeches. I know people stand in certain positions, and I move all over the place on various positions. I never stand in one corner. I try to see all sides of an issue. But if you don't see a problem with what happened in Seattle, how it reflects on us as a nation, I don't think you're paying attention. I don't think you're paying attention. And it's something that has been changing over the past couple of decades. Yeah, we've always been a violent society. We've always had a sort of adverse fascination with guns. But it's certainly gotten a lot more intense. And we need to do something about it. Question is what? Okay, that's going to do it for us here, and that's the theme that you heard before. And again, please give a phone call to our pledge room, 631-632-9872. Pledge whatever you can afford. Keep the radio station going. Toll-free number, 1-800-394-WUSB. And for those of you listening later on, via the internet or various other means, simply go to WUSB.FM and follow the instructions for the online pledge. And be sure to mention off the wall how much you hate it, how much you like it, how it doesn't affect you at all. It's Emmanuel Goldstein. See you next week.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.